he bought us. And we will worship him. We will praise him.
Yes.
With our last breath here on earth. But in the presence of him and his kingdom forever, we'll praise him. We will praise him. We will not shut up. We will not sit down. He's worthy to be praised. Amen. And the devil hasn't. The devil is still the same today as he was yesterday. Do you know that?
Yeah.
And what he tries to do, he tries to attack the things that he wants. Mm-hmm. From the very beginning, the devil, he wanted power. So I'll raise myself up before above God. Greed. And he's still the same today. And he figures that as he comes against the church, that the same thing that he wants, the church wants. So he figures, hey, I'll attack their heart, and they'll come to me. Now we know in heaven, a third of the angels were deceived. They got caught up into his rhetoric, however they did that. And next thing you know, they were cast down with them. And that same spirit of rebellion that found its way into the heavenlies is still upon this earth today. You're seeing in your bulletin today the scripture that we remember that we don't fight against flesh and blood, but powers and principalities. It's the same fight. It's been going on since the devil was given the lease to this world. And that's what's so amazing. If you look out in California for a minute, and you see the number one thing, the big struggle, is power. Whatever level it might be, they want power. They want power over the people. Well, mind you, the 60s. Yeah. So nothing's changed. And what upsets them so much is that God's people will not give them power over them. Amen? Not rebelling against you, governor, mayor? I bow down to one, that's Jehovah. Yeshua, Jesus. That's all. They don't like that. So they go after the second God. The first God is power. The second God is money. Alright, you won't let me have power over you? I want your money. Boom. Think of that. I'll find you $5,000 a day. Right. Now, I'll say this. They had not wrote one check yet. Understand that. They are going through the court system. Amen? They have the right to do that. But it's all said and done. If they have a bill for $1 million, who's worthy to be praised? And they, what? You're willing? I find them $500 first time. Now up to $5,000? And they're still willing to pay that? See, what we're doing is that we're stepping on their God. Understand that. Their God is a God of money. Okay? And so when we say, okay. Hey, I believe that when the trumpet sounds and the Lord comes back for his church, the church should be broke. Not that we'd be poor, that we gave it all that we've got. Amen? So when me and the Lord talks about this, I think, okay, God, every time you write a check, that's closer you're coming. You know what I'm saying? That we don't worship money. We worship God. And whatever it is, but we were not, you know, we won't bow down. Not in this, I won't say, it's not really a rebellion against the government. It's just honoring our God. And that's our mindset. Hey, God, we'll worship you. We worship you, God. You're worthy to be praised. You have the name above all names. We just declared that. Understand, Jesus Christ of Nazareth bought me with his blood. Paid for me. Now you're trying to buy me back with all this and this and this and this. No, 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 no. Because you cannot buy back my soul. It belongs to Jesus. Amen. Think of that. And we declare many times, hey, you can't take it with you, right? I think we're proving it more and more every day. But it just, God knows what he's doing. And I truly believe, though, as the enemy of our souls, as he used people in this earth to attack us or come against what they worship, the eyes are being opened. They're being opened. Like, wait a second. See, you understand that not everyone who's being used to come against the body of Christ believes in what they're doing. But someone above them got power. Okay? Someone above them said, you're going to do this, you're going to pass this, or you're going to enforce this, or you're out. Okay? Out of a job, I mean. Okay? So how much in your life before you come to know Jesus, how much did you tolerate of the devil in your life before you say, I can't do this no more? Now, I might not be the right way of putting it, but that was my heart. I'm done. God, either you got a better idea. But I come to the point that I knew that sin was sin. My eyes were open. So we have to continue to remember, guys. Don't get wrapped up in everything where it's us against them. Yet there are folks right now in power, and especially out in California, because that's where most of us right now is trying to come this way, that they're doing things, enforcing things that are evil, they don't agree with. But someone's got power over them. And what a testimony, I believe, that the church is making when we say, or when they say, I mean, okay, hey, listen, God bless you, but we're going to worship God today. Now, we can tell you we have a constitutional right. We have our amendments. We have our Bill of Rights. But lay all them aside. We're going to worship God today. But he's worthy to be praised. You go, why are you? What is wrong with these people? I mean, the pastor today, when he steps into the pulpit, I mean, he's ready to. He doesn't want to, but he knows being arrested and taken out of his church could happen any day now. And he cries out to the people, to the minister, hey, listen, we worship. We give to Caesar what is Caesar's, but we give God what is God, and it's praise, it's worship. And I truly believe there are those in power out there that their eyes are being opened. I mean, this is unjust. And they're going to be standing up, speaking out also. So, but not against the rebellious part. They're becoming the Jesus. And folks, remember, that's the number one thing in our life. For those of us who are born again and sold out to Jesus, is to bring others into the light. Wow, we got to stay focused on that. Otherwise, we fall in the trap of the devil. We become me, 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 me. We become power hungry, okay? And we don't want to fall in that trap, okay? So it's Jesus first. How can I represent you today, Lord? I believe you said earlier about a fire, you know? A fire that we can't control, and that the fires are burning all over the United States, all over the world, making differences. Well, I think we all can remember people that had such defined convictions that you were amazed. they really believe this? Now, it could be following Jesus, or it could be any conviction that they have, but they don't waver. Whether it's right or wrong, you still got to be, how can someone be so set in that? Well, it's all truly loving Jesus. And as the Lord spoke to Ryan today, His love to us is the love for the world. Think of that. That love that He put in our hearts that we felt of His belongs to the world. And for us to love the world. Not be in the world, but love them. Maybe put it this way. Show the love to the world. Amen? That's probably a better way of doing it. Because people will be coming to Jesus that most people already wrote off. Some people say, well, I just hope they hurry up and die and go to hell and get over with. And that's going to be the very people that the Lord's going to touch. And their mouths are going to open up to proclaim Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Wow. You talk about flipping things around for the Lord, amen? I'm telling you. Oh, I don't have any disease. I glued my teeth in and that glue's ripping down my throat, so. But I just want to be honest with you, that's all. But the people that those who are coming against the church are associating with today, and they're kind of like buddies, you know, but when they get caught on fire for the Lord, those people's going to turn on them so quickly. You understand? But it shall take place. Because you don't worship a dead God. You don't worship a Messiah that is powerless. You worship one who came back from from the grave to life. And He lives within us. And what He's continuing to do daily is conditioning you and me. As we surrender more and more to Him, I want more of Him. Don't you get fed up with things in the world right now. So you want something that's stable, something that's encouraging, something that's worth your time, and that's the Word of God. So each one of you, as you follow Him closer and closer, He's building up in you an army to do the calling He's called you to do. Now, I've quoted quite a few times, but remind me of Esther. That's one of my wife's favorite books of the Bible, Esther. If you have never read Esther, read it. It's really encouraging. But what's a famous quote from Esther? I didn't know that you were born for a time like this. All the stuff she went through, she was captured, was a slave, was taken to the king's court, was ended up picked out to be the king's closest friend, ended up becoming the king's bride. All that preparation. Now, if you would have told her back when she was taken to captivity that someday she would be the queen, yeah, right. Yep. Probably in that court thing they had when, not guilty court, but in the court of ladies, okay, for the king to pick up the next bride, there was probably a few of them saying, woo, I'll be the next one. He'll like my wiggle. He'll like my hair, you know, bragging. And there's Esther back there thinking, man, what am I here for? But as she was being prepared, Shed of Wisdom spoke to her. Mordecai, did I say it right this time? Yes. How do you know that you wasn't born for a time like this? God used her to save His people. They were going to be annihilated, wiped out, boom. When everyone else might be saying, oh man, it's over with. Look what they're doing. Man, we're going to get a couple more days and then we'll come down and we have an order from the king. They're going to kill us all. And there's Esther saying, Mr. King, woo-hoo, you like my brownies I made you? Do you love me? All the things that have been in her life up to that point, God was going to use. Because when the king made a law and put a signet ring on it, you couldn't change it. And he had already been convinced to wipe out the Jews. Again, that's in Esther. You read it this afternoon while you're having coffee. But they didn't give up. And once Esther presented her case to the king, he couldn't change it. Now, the guy who talked him into it, he hung. But he gave the Jews, the people, the right to defend themselves. And they overpowered the enemy, and here they are, still alive today. Now, with the intercession of Esther taking place, and the king's, okay, all right, yes, you tell the Jews, here's my new law. I can't change the old one, but we're going to give you guys permission to have weapons and defend yourself. Now, can you imagine all that Esther's uncle, all that they did, and Esther putting her life on the line, presented the king, because she could have been put to death because she talked to the king about permission. If he finally gave the people the right to stand up against this evil and live, can you imagine if that order went out and they said, oh no. No, we don't want to do that. What? We got to make our own weapons? I don't think it's right. I just think the king should give us our weapons ourselves. But what they wanted so bad that they're willing to step in it to themselves. Saying, Yahweh, Jehovah, God, strengthen us. And to me, it reflects Psalms 144:1. In the physical, that is God, strengthen my hands, my fingers for war. They call upon God for righteous strength. And they stepped into battle. And they lived. Well, today I believe the same cry is going out. They've been crying out, God, help us. Lord, the perversedness of this world. I mean, we look at California again. They took it. You have consent of a child now. When there's not, when there's more than 10 years difference in the age, and the child is willing, it's not illegal. So if you're 18 years old, an 8-year-old can give you permission to do things. If you know what I'm talking about. Does that make anybody sick in here? And we cry out, God! It's okay. Let me strengthen your hands for war. Is that what you want? But you look in your bulletin, it shows that we are fighting. Not flesh and blood. We are fighting powers of darkness, the principalities. So these hands of ours are sharpened forward this way. To pray, intercede. Our weapon is the Word of God. A mighty weapon God has given us. Okay, here's your weapon, your sword, my word. Go out and slay the dragon. Wow. So there's something we can do today, even for our brothers and sisters in California. It's our cry of our heart. Is it truly a cry? A true desire to stand in the gap and intercede for those who have the voice? I just find it amazing that a child 1 minute before is in the world, they can be put to death. 9 months old. Longest part of it is still in the womb. And then we allow them to harvest the organs. Make anybody sick? But will they survive at least age 8? And some people have got a new toy to play with. Wow. Whew. We need to sit down and think about that. That's where our country's at today. But God's calling upon His people. Us. To pray. Use our voices. To make a difference. To make a difference. See, it's not about you and me anymore. It's about all those who are coming behind us or around us. Somebody made a quote, I can't tell you who it was, Carol might remember. But it says, isn't it funny that all those who stand up for abortion have already been born? You know? The reason you get the truth out about life, number one, amen? That God has a purpose for that life. And offer that to folks. You know, hey, I know, but a lot of people are going through tough times, and it's what's going in their ears, how they make decisions. Girls and ladies and men also are making decisions because they know what to do. So they listen to whatever voice is speaking to them. We just need to share with them the love that God has a plan and purpose for every life. And do our best when it comes to removing funding or whatever we can, that part also. And folks, there's not one sin that God will not forgive. Many of us sitting here today, we put people in power that told you up front, I believe, abortion. But we didn't quite hear that, did we? Other things are louder than that. But God forgive us. Amen? As we truly turn our hearts towards Him. So we want to share His love with those around us. And stand up for those who can't stand. If you would, I'd like you to go, if you have your Bibles with you today, we're going to step into the book of Daniel. Share something here. Anybody ever hear of Daniel before? When you think of Daniel, what do you think of? The lion's den? Okay. See, I'm the opposite. I think of food. I think about the Daniel fast. But the book of Daniel, we're not looking at Daniel today, but he had some buddies with him. And I always... Good, Mama. Meshach. Okay. Because I already learned the last one was, to bed we go. Yeah, that's how you remember it. It rhymes to that, okay? But they were taken captive, and of course, when they were first being prepared for the service of the king, they had to eat from the king's table, and they refused to eat meat from a sacrifice to false gods. And so they talked their jailer into feeding him grapes and all that healthy stuff for 10 days. And it turned out to be they were more healthy than those eating from the king's table. That's the Daniel song. So I'm talking about the three boys, not Daniel today, but the three boys. And in verse 1, chapter 3, and as I share this today, the Lord laid it upon my heart too. He's going to speak to your mind through His Spirit, I truly believe. And you're going to recognize the things here relating, I believe, to the things going on today. And hopefully it will bring encouragement to you. But even though we go through things, that God can be glorified from it, and your lives can be changed. See, Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, and the height of which was 60 cubits, and its width was 6 cubits. He set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. But Nebuchadnezzar, the king, sent word to assemble the satraps, the prefects, and the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the judges, the whole town, okay? And rule of everything, yes, yes. And as they gathered there, Nebuchadnezzar the king, I'm in verse, set up, and they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Verse 4. Then the herald loudly proclaimed, "To you the command is given, O people, nations, and men of every language, that at the moment you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the lyre, the trigon, the guitar, bagpipes, and all kinds of music, you are to fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. But whoever does not fall down and worship shall immediately be cast into the midst of a furnace of blazing fire. Therefore, at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the horn, the flute, the lyre, the trigon, the psaltery, the bagpipe, and all kinds of music, all the peoples, nations, and men of every language fell down and worshiped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar, the king, had set up." Verse 8, "For this reason, at that time, certain Chaldeans came forward and brought charges against the Jews. They responded and said to Nebuchadnezzar, the king, 'O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree that every man who hears the sound of the horn and all the instruments is to fall down and worship the golden image.'" Verse 11. "But whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into the midst of a furnace of blazing fire." Now, can you imagine how nervous that would be? A furnace of blazing fire if we do not bow down and worship this golden image that Nebuchadnezzar set up. Now, he is a ruling power. "There are certain Jews whom you have appointed over the administration of the province of Babylon, namely Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have disregarded you." Now, I want to stop right there and back up just a second. "There are certain Jews," in verse 12, "there are certain Jews whom you have appointed over the administration of the province of Babylon." Bum, 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 bum. Certain ones. Now, what jumped out at me, there's not all Jews, but there's certain Jews there. "There are certain Jews whom you have appointed over the administration of the province of Babylon, namely Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have disregarded you. They do not serve your gods or worship the golden image which you have set up." So they were in power at Babylon under Nebuchadnezzar, okay? Even though they were taken into custody, doing the things that the king asked them to do, but they weren't doing everything that he decreed upon that golden image. "But Nebuchadnezzar, in a rage and anger, gave orders to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then these men were brought before the king. And Nebuchadnezzar responded and said to them, 'Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the golden image that I have set up? Now, if you are ready, at the moment you hear the sound of the horn and the musical instruments, to fall down and worship the image I have made, very well. But if you do not worship, you will immediately be cast into the midst of a furnace of blazing fire. And what God is there that can deliver you out of my hands?'" Now, again, in perspective, these three are in power in Babylon, working under Nebuchadnezzar. No doubt, through Nebuchadnezzar, they have room and board, a probably income, they have food, they have a reputation, okay? All this. And no doubt, they probably enjoyed that. I mean, you had a choice to live in a house instead of a tent. Would you not want a house? Okay, yes. And he's furious, thinking, okay, I brought you to my camp. As slaves, I saw how awesome he was. I raised you up in the power I have a simple request to bow down and worship his idol. I don't care where your heart's at. If you just bow down to it, that way I'll look good, Nebuchadnezzar's thinking, in front of all the people. We'll be cool. That'd give you something to think about, would it not? And like I say, the devil's no different today than he was back then. I mean, the three boys could have got together and said, well, listen, guys. I mean, come on. We really got it made here. And God truly knows what's in my heart. So we just kind of bow down, you know. We just go down like this. But God knows we love him. We worship him. You think that was going through their mind, I wonder? It could. I mean, were they human? Wasn't Jesus tempted in many ways but never sinned? And so, we can apply this to today. A lot of people have been given things from our daily or Nebuchadnezzar today, trying to purchase support. And some of us, as we go on, you have great challenges in your life. Because you have to make a decision now, do I bow down before my government and surrender myself? May God truly know what's in my heart. I mean, God knows I have these things I need. He knows I need food, I need lodging, housing. I even need my job. So, God, you know, I need these things. I love you. But I'm going to fake you. I'm going to bow down. The question is, are we willing to stand for God? Doesn't matter what it costs us. Truly are. That's when we go back to the Lord, search my heart. Search my heart. Will I truly stand up knowing that it may cost me my income, my housing, my food, my free college, my free rent, whatever it might be? Because the devil hasn't changed any. But you know what? Our God hasn't changed any. Understand that he has not changed. The one thing he says to his church, and folks, he says, thou shalt have no other God before me. Understand, no other God before me. Not a God of money, God of power, a God of convenience, a God of sin. No. You have no other God before me. Why? Because I am all you need. I mean, King David states that in Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want anything. Anything that I need, he provides. So if my king provides everything I need, only thing you can tempt me with is what I truly want in my heart. Understand that? Hey, I've got 200 pounds of deer meat in my freezer at home. You cannot tempt me to sin today for a pound of burger. Amen? I got all I need. But where would you come in at, maybe? A cupcake? See what I'm saying? My wants are taken care of. I have to control. Take it back. My needs have been taken care of. I have to take control of my wants. There's nothing wrong with wanting something, but don't let it cause you to compromise with God. Because if you do, you have just placed a God before Jehovah. He said, have no other God before me. And we see in scriptures here where these three guys had to make a decision, and they didn't bow down. I'm telling you, facing a fiery furnace, you're going to be nervous doing that. Today, whatever you might be facing, think, oh no, but I don't know what's going to happen. It's called trusting God. It's called faith. Faith. And I'm telling you, whatever we go through, if you see the hand of Jehovah moving, it builds our faith. But folks, as we read this, as we see a true event taking place, it should build our faith, saying, okay, God, I know what tomorrow holds, but I know you're holding it for me, and I'm going to stay in your hand, no matter what comes my way, no matter how scary it is. And that's what these three Hebrew boys decided. Shadrach, in verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to give you an answer concerning this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the furnace of a blazing fire. And he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But even if he does not, let it be known to you, O king, that we are not going to serve your gods or worship the golden image that you set up. Now, I love the statement they put there. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the furnace of the blazing fire. He says he is able. He did not say he will. You catch that part of it? I think that's very important. Because they're saying, hey, listen, he's able to. But I'll guarantee you he is going to deliver me from your hands. So that meant going in the furnace and being in the presence of God. They have been delivered from the hands of Nebuchadnezzar. Amen? What they really were saying is, hey, God, thy will be done, not my will. And a lot of times, and we don't do it in a bad way, but we try to tell God what his will is. You know what I'm saying? And there's nothing wrong, I don't think, trying to figure out God. He wants us to meditate on him. And sometimes we pray and we say, but thy will be done. It's a cop-out because we have no faith in our prayer. Amen? You follow me on that? But knowing that God is able and that he's willing and that he has a plan and purpose for your life, and through him that life will not stop until it's been accomplished, as long as we follow him, amen? So we can say the same thing. I heard the bearded guy, the old man, Phil Roberts, last week or so, he was talking about the situation the nation is in. And he said, hey, you know, I serve my God. He's a protector. He's my healer. He strengthens me. He puts his angel around me to watch over me. And if something would happen, I catch this virus, he'll be there to receive me. But I won't sit down. I won't shut up. I'm going to proclaim the gospel of Jesus. Amen? Amen. But king, we will not worship the golden image that you have set up. Verse 19, and Nebuchadnezzar was filled with wrath, and his facial expression was altered toward Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He answered by giving orders to heat the furnace 7 times more than it was usually heated. He commanded certain violent warriors who were in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Tie up, restrict their movement. They can't move anymore. Suffocate them is what he's saying. In order to cast them into the furnace of blazing fire. And I'll guarantee you this. They would not have to tie them three boys up. They would have walked right in. Just like Jesus. They didn't have to force him on the cross. He wasn't struggling. No. He laid his life down. He allowed them to crucify him. It wasn't a struggle. We went on down, back and forth. I believe the same thing with Meshach, Nisha, the three Hebrew boys, okay? And these men were tied up in their trousers, their coats, their caps, and their other clothes and were cast into the midst of the furnace of blazing fire. Now, why would it save all of them clothing? Had all that clothing on them. Well, number one is they would catch on fire first. It would really start burning. It takes a while. Oh, never mind. But yeah. So they announced all these things. For this reason, because the king's command was urgent and the furnace had been made extremely hot, the flame of the fire slew through those who carried up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It was so hot it killed the ones who was putting them in the furnace. But these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell into the midst of the furnace of blazing fire, still tied up. And this is a God moment. The Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astounded and stood up in haste. He said to his high officials, "Was it not three men we cast bound into the midst of the fire?" They replied to the king, "Certainly, O king." He said, "Look, I see four men loosed and walking about in the midst of the fire without harm. And the appearance of the fourth is like a son of the gods." I've seen a fourth man walking with them, set free. Wow. What a testimony to Nebuchadnezzar, okay? They went in, bound up, they thought, "We got you now." And there he was, looking in the fire. And who was listening? One that looked like the son of God. And that's the same God that we serve today. I'm telling you what, guys. That's the same God. He still goes with people into the fire. Amen. He still brings them out of the fire. Oh, praise God for that. Oh, let me go on here. The Nebuchadnezzar came near to the door of the furnace of the blazing fire. He responded and said, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, come out. You servants of the Most High God, and come here." Right then, he testified, "You three, the servants of the Most High God, you, worshiping the true God, you come on out of here." Opened the door up and brought them out. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the midst of the fire. The satraps, the prefects, the governors, and the king's high officials gathered around and saw in regard to these men that the fire had no effect on the bodies. Look at this. All the officials, all the ones who came together, we've got this cautious thing, he's still in the fire. In front of all of them, God showed his power and his might. Amen? And it wasn't fake news. I mean, it was real life things. The fire had no effect on the bodies of these men, nor was a hair of their head singed, nor were their trousers damaged, nor had the smell of fire even came upon them. Look at that. Well, the other thing I will do is clothes on that. Clothes catch on fire quicker. God said, "Go ahead." I'm surprised God didn't have them drown in water first. I mean, not drown, but put in water. Whew. Almost done, guys. Hang in there. Nebuchadnezzar responded and said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants and who put their trust in him." Who put their trust in who? Him. Who? Jehovah. Yeshua. Put their trust in him. Not in Nebuchadnezzar. Not in the fear. Not in the fight. Hey, we'll trust God. Hey, he's the one, remember, who was with us when nobody else wanted us. Remember, he's the one when we were slaves of our sin. He bought us with his blood. They put their trust in him. Do you put your trust in the Lord? Is he your all in all? Is he the one you're trusting today and tomorrow and the next day? Is that fire being heated up 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 times in this modern day age? Amen? God has not changed. His servants put their trust in him, violating the king's command and yielding up their bodies so as not to serve or worship any god except what? Their own God. Think of that. Hey, listen, they were obedient. They was doing what they did in Babylon. They was in control of Babylon. But my allegiance is to God, Jehovah. And they went and yielded. For me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. Amen. And that's not just a saying over your door. That'd be the saying inside of our hearts. Amen. But look what he did, man. Therefore, now this is the king. Therefore, I make a decree that any people, nation, or tongue that speaks anything offensive against God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be torn limb from limb, and their houses reduced to a rubbish heap. Inasmuch as there is no other God who is able to deliver in this way, then the king caused Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to prosper in the province of Babylon. He said, now listen, this is a decree. No one's going to speak against Jehovah, the God of the Hebrew boys. Because if you do, I'm going to get rid of you. Now, you don't see where Nebuchadnezzar bowed down to Jehovah. You don't see where he tore down the golden image. But you do see one thing. He learned not to mess with the children of God. Amen. He didn't want that. He didn't want that coming on his head. So he made a decree. Don't mess with Jehovah. Don't mess with the God that they worship. He delivered them. He was in the fire with them and brought them out. I bet you that they have, put in modern day language, they had church services every day. They praised the Lord, and not one person spoke against it. Even though they didn't come, Nebuchadnezzar did not come to know that we see in scriptures of God as his God. But how many people out there? I mean, we're talking about thousands and thousands of people bowing down. How many went down like this, if I can put it this way, and kind of look up and see these three Hebrew boys in violation of the king? We're worshiping this golden image. And they're standing up there. And then they've seen the three get thrown in the fire. And they're probably saying, not the three in the fire, they're saying, whew, thank God I'm glad we bowed down, huh, Daryl? Man, I knew they should have bowed down all the time. You know? Yep. Because for a moment, they're thinking, what are these three doing? Again, standing with a believer, anyone who stands with a believer, I have some type of respect for them, whether I agree with them or don't agree with them. But they don't waver. But the minute persecution came, they got thrown in the fire. Oh, man. How many other Hebrews there that day? Saying, well, man, yeah. They ain't us. That's a different tribe, you know what I'm saying? Today we saw that's not us. That's a Methodist, or that's a Baptist, or that's a Nazarene. That's not us. Trying to distance ourselves away from the move of God when we don't quite understand the move of God. Amen?
Amen.
We have that today going on in the churches, you know, separation. But, man, when that door opened up, door, here they come, in three Hebrew boys. Hey, man. No smell of smoke. You notice one thing in the scriptures? That fourth man didn't come out with him. He delivered him from the fire. Okay, boys, you're doing good. I'm with you. Can you imagine? They had faith before. Understand, they had faith before to stand there and say, Nebuchadnezzar, I'm sorry, but we're not going to worship your God. You look at the faith that they had then. coming out with this dance of Jesus in the fire, you know, and coming out, man, they would be unstoppable. Unstoppable. And Nebuchadnezzar said, keep your hands off of them. And we serve the same God today. We're going through some fire right now. But we need to keep your eyes on the Lord. Amen? Not bow down to Nebuchadnezzar. Not down to the golden image. In the scriptures, it doesn't say anything rebellious. Or the word was, hey, I believe they said, you know, let me get here a second. Yeah, I didn't see nothing rebellious. He just said, listen, our God is able to deliver us from the fire. But who delivers from your hands? And folks, I truly believe if our attitude as the followers of Jesus be the same thing, we humble ourselves and truly in our spirit say, hey, listen, we're going through this fire, we're going to worship the Lord. He is able to deliver us out of this. But I'll guarantee you, He will remove me from your hands. And look how many people's eyes are open. Now, some folks right now are cheering as the church is being stepped on. Okay? Yeah, shut them people up. Okay? That might be the same way of the Hebrew boys would have heard in their ear. As they were being ordered to bow down to a false god. They said, no, we can't do that. And Nebuchadnezzar said, yeah, but I'm going to do this to you. Now you hear the crowd, some of them in the crowd, yeah! Woo-hoo! We got a universe tonight! Yeah, we got hog ribs, whatever you want to call it. You know what I'm saying? But man, when they came through that fire, what a testimony to those at one time praising their destruction. And the Lord shall deliver us from the fire. As long as we don't love our life more than we love Jesus. Fire is hot, fire is real, but it ain't nothing. We've been redeemed. We sang about it earlier. Redeemed by the blood of Jesus. Wow. And we're right now, He's with us today. What we go through is His testimony. I believe truly there's some out there in California today saying, man, what's wrong with these people? I mean, by now it's probably $75,000 they own us. They owe us for having church and worshiping Him. And don't they like money? I'll guarantee you some eyes are being opened today. That's been closed by hatred, been closed by the Antichrist spirit. And what the pastors out there are going through is glory to the God of all creation. Because it's waking the church up. I wonder how many of those, when the three Hebrew boys was thrown into the fire, how many of the Hebrews out there kept their mouth shut? How many out there bowed down to this false god? And then when they came out of the fire, well, how bad they felt. They don't say in scripture, but in my heart, I can see the three Hebrew boys saying, hey, it's alright, man. It's alright. It was pretty scary. We made it through. Look what God's delivered us. Look at what we have now. We have the right to worship God. No one's going to stop it from me. Come on, guys. Let's get together. The three Hebrew boys didn't go out and make their own church then because they had more faith. I truly believe they brought together and said, yes, let's go on. God deliver us. And go forth. And may that be the cry in the heart of the church. As the church is waking up, some have been almost kneeling down. But I don't see both knees on the ground yet. They're listening. They're not quite sure. They're scared. But as we continue to worship Jehovah, Yeshua, Jesus, the Nazarene, and we continue to worship and praise Him, His Spirit is raising up more and more, and it's going to bring more people standing up and praising Jesus. And that will bring testimony to those who are against our God. The eyes be open and be delivered. And some of those folks are our own families, friends, relatives, and neighbors. Remember, keep loving them. Keep loving Jesus. Let Him love the world through you. Amen? Amen. God is awesome. God is awesome. But again, you get a chance to say, read the book of Esther. We actually have it on a movie. That way I can watch and eat popcorn at the same time, you know? But I want to give one testimony. Shout out to the Lord. Last Monday we were at home and we got a little doggy. It had a tumor and stuff for a long time now. But I walked out the kitchen to see my wife, or she's getting me breakfast ready. And it flopped over, went into a seizure, and couldn't breathe. And I just thank the Lord. We do what we just know what to do. We're going to lay the hands on that dog and pray over it for 15 minutes. And I'm telling you what, raised back up again. And what is so strange now about it, I don't know if God spoke to it or not, I have no idea. But that dog is so loving towards me now. That in the evening, instead of crawling up on his bed, he comes to me and wants me to hold it. You know, I believe somehow that dog knows that he was touched by the Lord or something, you know what I'm saying? And he just raised him back up. But and I just say, remember, if he does that for a doggy, and we know in Scripture that all dogs go to heaven, right? Well, it says animals do. And we know he knows when a sparrow falls on the ground. How much more do they think of you? He's created in His image. Amen? Amen. Prayer is powerful. I got a fellow I'm praying for his bull right now to come out of it. Our God, because a bull is very important if you're raising cattle, amen? And so I know our God can deliver bulls, dogs, cats, even cats, horses, yes, amen. But ourselves. So be encouraged.